Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. We're live now at 410-319-8888 after my amazing journey with Jimmy Heath. We're taking a different kind of journey right now. This Saturday is a very important day, actually. This Saturday is International Transgender Day of Remembrance for all the people in our society who are transgender, who have been murdered. We are joined in the studio by Catherine Hyde, who is a parent of a transgendered student in the Howard County Public School System here in Maryland, and she's Transgender Network Coordinator for PFLAG in Howard County. And Catherine, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Mark. I'm thrilled to be here.
410-319-8888. I think we had to pull her mic up. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. You can watch us live here on the internet at steinershow.org as well. As we were talking about your child, you told a really amazing story. I mean, you're the mother of a transgender child.
Yes.
And we'll talk in a minute about how, for many people, I think that's almost difficult to put their hands around this
yes.
whole notion of what that means and is. Tell us
yes.
your story.
Well, let me first kind of identify the pieces and parts.
Please do.
Sex is the thing that the doctors assign when they look at us at birth. They choose that M or F box to check. And then gender identity is completely different, and it comes out of our head. So if we look at our sex assignment, goes between our legs, our gender identity is in our head. And then our gender expression is how we present to the world, and that's what triggers a lot of the bullying, whether we're too girly or too effeminate or not feminine enough. And then sexual orientation is also separate in itself, and that doesn't come up until around puberty. So my story is I gave birth to a child who was assigned the gender of male on the birth certificate, given a male name. And the kid, at the moment this child could express himself, was picking out girly tutus and pink and all of this other toys, and we were slowly extricating them from his hand, saying, no, boys, don't do that. And my child finally was trying to reason with us at the age of 3, said, Mommy, something went wrong in your belly. I was supposed to be a girl.
At three.
The earlier they look for gender, the earlier they find it. Doctors really aren't sure when that gender identity becomes solid, but it can be very solid at a very young age.
So tell us a bit more about this sojourn with your child.
Well, so my husband's a former Marine, and we looked at this very effeminate child and said, oh, my gosh, we're so scared of preschool and how they're going to bully him. So off to the psychologist we went. No one mentioned gender orientation to us, but they did warn us that this 3-year-old might be gay, which in retrospect I think is hilarious because orientation, who this kid is attracted to is not there at 3, right? But
right.
No one said gender, but they encouraged us to kind of bribe and encourage this kid to act more like a young boy. So for the next 3 years, we were bribing the Barbie dolls and telling the child they can't wear dresses. And then by the age of 6, my child was so frustrated and so unhappy. Essentially, we had been shaming him that my child looked at me and said, Mommy, I'm going to get a real gun and kill myself.
How old was he?
6. 6-year-old with suicidal ideation.
And why did that happen, do you think?
Because we were not accepting of who this child was intrinsically. We were saying, you're bad, you're wrong, because you like Barbie dolls, because you like pink and sparkly. And I think the child just didn't want to live that way, didn't want to live in a world where he wasn't loved for who he was. So we went back to the psychologist. Again, no one said gender. Again, they said gay. And then they said, your child has anxiety and depression.
Let me stop for a minute, because I think most people hear this, and we talk about gay rights, we talk about rights of gays and lesbians, a right to marry, not to marry, and all the controversies mm-hmm. that we face in this society right now. But what about, I think when people are listening to this, they're going, wait a minute, you just said gay? Well, if he's a boy and he's wants to be a girl, then how is he not gay? I think there's
absolutely. It's a difficult thing to wrap your head around. Being gay is about who you're attracted to.
Right.
Whether you're a boy or a girl is about how you feel inside, how you identify yourself. And I say it this way, if you had told me when I was a young person that I was a boy, I would have said yippee skippy. Fewer chores. Right? Fewer chores, more power, and I could have been ball boy at Memorial Park, which would have made my day, right? I'd have been
fine. Now they have ball girls. But.
Now they do, but they didn't back when I was coming up. If you had told my former Marine husband, who wanted to play with guns since the age of 2, that he was a girl, he would have been disgusted. Ooh, my God, that's gross. So intrinsically, at a very young age, we have a sense of where we belong in this binary, left, right, middle, both, in between. But the problem is we don't help children articulate where they fit. We assign them.
So talk a bit about what happened to your son in school.
Okay.
And I stuttered with that for a moment.
Sure, it's hard. I stutter.
Son?
Daughter? I call my child a girl and my daughter. I still struggle with it because we didn't come upon the concept of transgender for my child until my child was 15. So for 15 years, I had a son. And then I'm still struggling with the change in pronouns, the same way Cher just said in Parade magazine recently that she's still struggling with pronouns for Chaz. So if Cher can struggle, mm-hmm. I can struggle. mm-hmm. So my kid was bullied from the get-go, you know, from preschool through elementary school and middle school. It reached a crescendo in middle school, as is often the case. My child never wanted to report it, never wanted to complain about it. Much of the bullying I didn't even hear about until my child got into the older teen years, and I would invite my kid onto panels to talk with me, and I would hear my kid tell other people the stories of bullying that she didn't want to tell me because, you know, avenging mom would come in and make a mess.
So what has been your child's experience in school?
Okay. I think the most egregious thing that my child went through, honestly, was when a teacher was mocking my child in front of the whole class.
How did that happen?
My child had a very high voice, and mm-hmm. my child, this was in his first year of high school. See, I still struggle. First year of high school. And my child had said something, and the teacher mocked his voice back at the whole class, and the whole class laughed. And that was, I guess, that was heartbreaking, because the thing that people don't understand is when the person in authority mocks and humiliates, it's permission to everyone else. And the other horrible thing that happened was just this year when a Howard County police officer came to the high school to do a presentation on drinking and driving for mm-hmm. the students and had a PowerPoint presentation. At the very end of the presentation, the officer said, "So in essence, just don't drink, because if you do, this could happen to you," and held up a slide of a straight guy hanging with a trans girl. And the auditorium erupted in laughter, and the trans girl is my daughter sitting in the audience.
But not literally on the slide.
No, not on the slide. But she's in the audience, and she's already being tormented by the jocks and some of the tougher kids at school. And to have the police stand up and say it's okay to torment this group of people is just unacceptable.
Folks, we'd love to have you join this conversation at 410-319-8888. Rachel's here, steinershow @gmail.com. If you're transgender and want to call and don't want to use your real name, that's fine. And just talk about your experience in your life and your experiences with growing as a transgender person, parent of one, somebody who has real questions about even thinking that we should pay attention to this question of transgender and what's the difference between transgender and gay. 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow @gmail.com. Because sometimes it may be easier to put your hands around whether you like or dislike the notion of somebody being gay, homosexual, lesbian, a person, or than it is to deal with this question of transgender, because it's so hard for people to deal with, like a lot of it, we talk about transgender in terms of operations, people changing themselves from one gender to the other.
Right. And that's a shame, because that really is the last thing that a trans person does. There's really three stages of transition. The first is social. The second is pharmacological. And the third is surgical. And a lot of people, especially when we catch these children young enough, what we do is we block the onset of their birth gender puberty and assign the puberty of the gender that they align with. So no surgeries are really necessary. A lot of trans people are comfortable with their bottom parts and don't want surgery. And the unfortunate thing is a lot of our policies, some policies require surgery before you can change your name, for example, or change the gender marker on your certificate. And I recently read a study that says only 20% of male to female transgender people have bottom surgery. And really, it's no one's business whether they've had bottom surgery or not. That shouldn't be the marker of whether they're male or female.
So does your child, I mean, I think people are curious about this.
Sure.
Does your child, she feels as if she's a woman?
Yes.
Or a girl?
Yes.
But is physically?
Has boy parts.
As a male?
Yes.
And wants to stay that way?
Isn't sure about, is starting to toy with the idea of surgical interventions, but more around presentation, around her face, than anywhere else right now. Because boys, when they go through puberty, which my child did to some extent by 15, they get a wider jawbone, they get a larger nose, they get a larger brow bone. And right now, when my kid looks at her face, she wishes her face were more feminine looking. And that's really what she's focused on right now.
So, folks, 410-319-8880. I know this is a very difficult conversation for many of you to have. And I think that it's one that, when we know the statistics of one out of 30 people, is that what you, perhaps, in this country?
It's a 1 in 250 to 1 in 300, they believe, fall under the big umbrella of trans, which means don't fit completely comfortably in the male or female binary. But it's 1 in 30 of the LGBT population is trans.
And so folks would say, a lot of people might say, as they did at Hopkins, all these operations, that this is a disorder.
Yes.
To be surgically changed. And
yes. Yes. And that is something that the community is looking to change. The same way homosexuality used to be considered a disorder in the Diagnostic Statistics Manual. Gender identification disorder right now is still considered that, and we want to get that changed. It's not a disorder. It's an identity.
And what are the reactions of students in the school who like your child?
Well, my kid is very lucky. My kid has a very strong contingent of people who are very supportive, mm-hmm. and actually admiring of someone who's so comfortable in her own skin. My child presents as a girl, dresses as a girl, passes as a girl. When we go out together, we're referred to as ladies by people taking care of us.
Dresses as a girl?
Yes, all the time.
All the time?
All the time.
It's a school?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And interestingly enough, the school dress code is not gender specific. So
that's interesting.
Not even boys are allowed to wear spaghetti straps. So, my child dresses as a girl, passes as a girl, has kept the boy name I gave her. And like I said, has a strong contingent of very good friends. And then there's another contingent that is very dismissive, very hurtful and nasty, and calls my child a freak or a fag or a homo. And considers my child a pervert and is afraid of my child. Is that there's something, menacing about this?
I mean, the statistics around people who are transgender in our society are pretty scary.
Yes.
In terms of the being bullied and being murdered and being beaten and kids who have gone homeless at greater rates and attempted suicide.
These kids are at more risk for almost all of the scary things that are out there. And this is what I think is changing, is that parents go online now when their kid is gender variant in any way, and they see these numbers and they get active, and they get active fast. These kids are more at risk for alcohol abuse, substance abuse, homelessness, underemployment, unemployment, sex trade work, murder, and the numbers don't really turn around until the late 20s. When the kids have kind of grown into themselves and figured out they're not invincible and that the world is not necessarily a friendly place to them.
So the kids who are transgender in our world, I mean, mm-hmm. This is something I think that people maybe don't even realize. Let's talk about this for a minute. Because I'm curious about your own story as a mother wrestling with this in a moment. But that in a broader context, historical context, there are a lot of traditional societies. Some Buddhist societies in Southeast Asia, some Native American societies that look at people who are transgender and call them two spirits.
Yes.
Some African societies of indigenous cultures in Africa who look at two spirit people as being normal, quote unquote, mm-hmm. that people
being special even.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I tell people that these kids are just like four-leaf clovers. In so many ways, they're like everyone else. They have a green stem. They have green leaves. The leaves are shaped the same way. They just have this one thing that makes them so different and so unique. And you see four-leaf clovers out there. You don't see them very often. And it's society's choice whether to say that's to be worshipped or reviled. And right now, we're in the reviled camp.
And why do you think we're in the reviled camp? What do you think is about us that we revile people gender is unclear?
I'm not sure. Most of the theories say that we somehow find it threatening.
What about you and your husband's sojourn into this? I mean, because you, my guess is that when your husband, an ex-Marine, normal, mm-hmm. but whatever normal means.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I mean, two middle-class people becoming married, having a child.
Right. I never dreamed I was bringing home a little transgender person.
What transgender was
I
when you...
I did not. I didn't know until 15.
Right.
Until my child was 15. For 15 years, I was living with it and didn't know. I think it's the lack of education. I think it just ooks us out because we don't understand it, the same way interracial marriage used to ook us out as a society. And then we thought, then we figured it out. Oh, that's ridiculous. Nothing to be ooked about. We're at that point, I think, with transgender. It's time to get educated and to understand. This is nothing to be afraid of. My child and I are talking to the Howard County Public School Board of Education tomorrow night. And I asked my kid, I said, what do you want to get out of this conversation? Hmm. And my kid said, I want my teachers to not be afraid of me. It's not I want the kids to stop bullying me. I want my teachers to understand me and not be, so freaked out when I come into their classroom. Which is, again, it goes back to education. So I think that's what the problem is. We're uneducated.
And
on this topic.
No. But what about your own family in wrestling with this? I mean, it's one of the things, one of the things that we do here is when we are separate from, then we have an easier time ridiculing or not understanding or thinking something is strange, weird, and needs to be put in another place.
Yes.
So we see more and more people accepting gay and lesbian people in America because more and more people are open to somebody in their family is gay.
Yes.
But this is, for so many people, for want of a better term, I don't mean this in a harsh way, but people see people who are transgender as a freak show.
Yes, they do. They do. And it breaks my heart. It absolutely breaks my heart. This was very difficult for my husband and me to understand. My husband had a very difficult time having such an effeminate child. And then when we realized we didn't have a boy, we had a girl, it's amazing how deep the tentacles to gender are in our society. My dreams of my child were wrapped around his gender. I had plans for my son.
Mm-hmm.
And to give those up and to move through that grieving process and to understand that I have a daughter has been very difficult.
Is your only child, by the way?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The parents of gays and lesbians have this feeling too, this kind of grieving over the loss of these dreams.
Right, right, right.
And we assign these dreams so clearly by gender, and I think we don't even realize how much gender segregation we have in this world.
What about your husband, the Marine?
God bless my husband, the Marine. He's doing great with this kid. He's doing absolutely great with this kid. But it has been a journey for him. It has been a long and difficult journey for him to wrap his head around this. And I think even more so because it was a father-son, I think that grieving the loss of the son mm-hmm. is more difficult. I've heard specialists say that that mothers have more trouble with their female-to-male daughters who are transitioning to become boys, and fathers have more trouble with their boys who are transitioning to become girls. That it's just some kind of, deep difficulty.
Folks, join us here. Don't be afraid of the conversation. 410-319-8888. And it'll be the first of many we're going to have, because we have to have this conversation about the transgender world and things we have to come to grips with in the 21st century that we don't want to come to grips with in America in many places. Other parts of the world, in Britain and other countries, they've gone way beyond us in terms of the laws that are making sure that transgender people are fully given all the rights of everybody else in their societies. 410-319-8888. Catherine Hyde is the parent of a transgender child in the Howard County Public School System and the Transgender Network Coordinator for PFLAG Howard County. 410-319-8888. Come to these calls. An email came in, and I will say for full disclosure, they expect this. It's my wife, short end. Valerie writes in to say, please tell your guest that I'm extremely moved by her courage and candor, and especially by the way she is modeling to parents of all children and to all of us how to love unconditionally, and to her daughter, you go, girl.
Well, let me say to your wife, thank you very much. My child and I don't always hear kind words. And I have come to say that I live for those kind words. when people actually say them to me, because it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. When we first went on this journey, when my child was 15 and we were looking for puberty blockers, it took me a year to find understanding providers.
So what is why puberty blockers for transgender children? What is that?
Because what it does, you know, our bodies are very much alike, boys and girls, until puberty comes in and starts promoting what are called the secondary sex characteristics.
Right.
And they change the structure of the face, the width of the shoulders.
You were talking about that earlier, yeah.
Yes, right, and the spread of the hips. They have all of these, they make the boys grow taller, they keep the girls a little bit shorter, the boys' muscles get stronger. All of those secondary sex characteristics come from a result of puberty. So trans kids, if you can intercept and block puberty, those secondary characteristics won't come up, so that when they transition, they won't be so obviously trans. They'll have more of those secondary characteristics of the gender with which they identify. So that's what the goal is. When you have a child who's clearly in the wrong body or in the wrong gender, you want to stop those secondary characteristics.
I'm going to go to the phones here, but I mean, sure. In societies where people are accepted as two-spirit children, they don't worry about that.
Correct. Correct. They don't treat it like it's something. But a lot of people here, what you have to understand, transgender people are a very small part of the population.
Very small.
But the spectrum of who they are is just as wide. So you can have very out people like my kid, and you can have people who are so shy they would be mortified if you knew their business. And helping them pass is important in this society.
410-319-8888. Amanda in Pikesville, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Amanda. Welcome.
Thank you. I am 23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very liberal individual, so I'm kind of skewed on the perspective because of the people I surround myself with.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like transgendered and alternative lifestyles is an extravagantly acceptable thing. I'm really shocked to hear that the kind of hazing that your child is receiving is still happening. I was hazed when I was in high school for being of an alternative lifestyle. Do you feel like it's just kind of getting your generation over the hump, and that once that happens, my age group will kind of be able to pioneer the accepting that people are people? It's not your parts, it's who you are.
Amanda, that is a great question. And let me share something with you. When we first wrapped our heads around transgender and went to the school, what I said to the counselor was, I'm not as worried about the children as I am about the teachers. And because of that generational, the kids are much, much more accepting than my generation and the people who are running the school system. And the other thing is, even though we have these inclusive policies, we don't have enough education for the people of my generation to get to the level of acceptance that people your age have.
Amanda, thanks for that call. We're ready for another caller? 410-319-8888. Let's go to John. You're on the air.
I'd just like to tell you that your panelist is so genuine, so sincere. The clarity of the way you speak about this particular issue is amazing. You have found your niche accidentally.
Why, thank you.
It is absolutely amazing to listening to you talk about this particular subject with such sensitivity, with such clarity, and such depth. God bless you. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you. I love my child.
Thank you so much, John, for that call. Let's go to Mark. You're on the air.
Catherine, this is Mark Pedro from Baltimore County, PFLAG. I would like to have you talk about where people should go if they think they need help with their child, as you did when you were looking. You had found difficulty in finding a team of doctors.
Mark, thank you. I was telling myself on the way over here I had to say this. If you are a parent of an LGBT child, there are resources there to help you. Go to pflag.org, because I know this is available by streaming across the country. Go to pflag.org, find your local PFLAG chapter. We have parent support groups to help you on this journey. It is a tough journey, but it is a journey worth making for your child. We have Rainbow Youth and Ally groups for your child to go to a place where they can feel safe and accepted for who they are. And we have educational and advocacy programs to help the world wrap their heads around this in a better place. And there are medical resources out there in the Baltimore area that specialize in treating LGBT people. Chase Brexton Health Services here in Baltimore, Walker Whitman, or Whitman Walker in D.C. And these kids deserve providers who are trained in their area. No one should have to go through the pain we went through for a year looking for a GLBT-friendly provider.
Catherine Hyde, here's what my commitment to you is, that sometime within the next month, I want to have you and others back to have a full hour to talk about this.
That would be great.
And to continue this conversation. And I thank you so much for coming and sharing your story, and thank you for being the person that you are.
Thank you, Mark. Thank
you. Good
to
have you here. Catherine Hyde, parent of a transgendered student at the Howard County Public School System, and transgender network coordinator for the PFLAG Howard County. We're going to take a short break and come back. I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. For more information, www.mecu.com. Stay with us. We're going to take a journey across religious lines when we come back in the top of the hour. And we'll come back to this issue of transgendered people in our communities. And looking forward to also having a filmmaker on who made a movie called Two Spirits about a young Navajo boy accepted by his community but killed by others because he was transgender. Stay with us. We'll be right back.